What is up, ladies and gents of the betting world? We are back on another Tuesday at noon, live here on Twitter for the NFL Roundtable, a betting show, by the way, because I'm sure there are other roundtables out there. This one is strictly about betting the NFL, and I'm back with our typical panel members. We have Patrick at Gator Sports, or I'm sorry, it's at Gator Betting, Patrick, excuse me, on Twitter, and Jake Circus at Jake Circus on Twitter as well. We got videos on this show today. I mean, the NFL Roundtable is leveling up every week. Big thank you, actually, to Patrick for that. Patrick created some production on our end for this show, which is going to spruce it up. And today we have another very special guest on the NFL Roundtable. We are joined by none other than Kiev O'Neill from the Odds Breakers. You can follow him at OB Kiev, and of course, follow the Odds Breakers too. Boys, just got to say from the very start, week two was absolutely crazy. I mean, the NFL is always crazy, but for me personally, it was one of the worst weeks of NFL betting that I've ever had. Both of my Circa entries are gone. I was fired up. I have a middle school class to teach on Monday mornings, a writing workshop, and I was walking into that school fired up. I was ready to take someone out, and I'm around middle schoolers. Probably not a great attitude to have, but, you know, of course I settled down. But it was just one of those weeks in the NFL. Before we get to these games, I mean, obviously we have to be efficient on the show. There's a lot of games to go through. We have four different personalities. But I got to hear from you guys. How did week two treat you? Let's start with our guest of the day, Kiev O'Neill. How was it for you, buddy?
It was brutal. Brutal for me. You know, it's funny. I find a lot of success in the prop markets. I should have done more with the prop markets on a week like this because I'm such a big fantasy guy. But the truth is that a lot of my sides and my totals lost. You know, I expected more points out of Denver, really. I thought they were kind of haphazard. I expect to see more interceptions in that game with Justin Fields. It was 36.5, and I guess I fell for it, but in a way, good weather in Denver, that's the one you need to take the overs. You know, Washington and Giants, the Giants couldn't even kick extra points the whole game. You know, that over I lost, I had a good number on it, like 42.5. And then the yards are both over 400. I mean, the score should have been 30-30, but when you have two incompetent offenses dying in the red zone, you know, that's how it happens. But, you know, the teasers got smashed because of all the big favorites that would tease down to 1.5, 2.5 loss. So that was part of it for me. You know, there's a lot of issues with the Ravens. The league doesn't seem to love them. So they had a ton of penalties at home, which was really surprising. And once again, Chris, the Ravens outgained the heck out of their opponent. But, you know, it was tough. But, you know, at the same time, Chris, we've done this for a long time. I am totally confident of another profitable year in the NFL. I think we're going to all, you know, just, you know, get back to work. That's what you do. And that's why you do good bankroll management. I also want to thank you, Chris, for bringing me on the show with these awesome guys. You know, it's hard to get a bunch of people together. And I've been looking forward to coming on. So thank you and Patrick and Cirque as well.
Oh, absolutely, man. And for those of you who don't know, many of you probably know my story already, but I got my start at the Odds Breakers. So the Odds Breakers will always be close to this guy's heart. Make sure you check out the Odds Breakers all the time. Some unbelievable betting information is just on a constant basis. Every single day you guys are generating work. And of course, Patrick is over there too, always writing for the Odds Breakers. So an honor to have you on, my man, as always. Jake Circus, how did you do in week two, man? Did you fare any better than me in Kiev?
Did better than I did in college, I'll say that. But no, not a great week. I mean, that Giants Commanders game seemed like it fucked everybody up. My Giants ticket was in the trash the moment Graham Gano left the game, and they had to go for two up three in a game that should have easily been won. Holding a team to field goals seven times, you can't win the game. I thought Daniel Jones looked actually pretty good in that game too. The one big I'm lost on the Titans again. Like, the Titans are two plays away from being 2-0. As like outright dogs in both weeks. So unideal from that perspective. Yeah, I mean, I had a Rams ticket that was gone within minutes, probably undervalued the injuries they had up front, and certainly with Puka and now Cooper Kupp missing a few weeks. So it wasn't as bad as, like, it wasn't my worst week ever, but, you know, we move on to the next one.
Yeah, that Rams game was interesting all week. I'm like, how can the Rams be underdogs, right? It was just one of those situations where you're questioning the odds makers from the very beginning. You're questioning that there's no line movement really on that game. And then you're 3 minutes into that game, and it felt like it was 21-0 immediately. The Cardinals go right up. So Rams really limping into that one, and we know the results of how that went. I wouldn't be too crazy about the Arizona Cardinals just yet. That's my perspective, but we'll get more into that. Patrick, week two. I feel like if I remember your bets from week two, Patrick, am I right to say you might be one of the only one of us who actually had some moderate success? Is that true?
I only lost, I think, a unit on the week. So okay. I think I was just a little down a little bit. I don't know if I agree with the Cardinals take. I mean, we saw what they did week one against the Bills, kept it pretty close, and then they just dominated the Rams. So I don't know if I'd say we're kind of underreacting to them, but I think they're going to be certainly pretty scrappy this year as a football team.
I love that. Patrick bringing the heat right away. Some disagreement on the NFL roundtable. That's what we like. And with that, let's get to the very first game. I told you we got some video intros here. Watch out. Let's talk Jets and Patriots. That's all Patrick Gates. That's all Gator betting right there. Jets and Patriots, Thursday night football. And of course, for those of you who haven't watched in the past, I should say we'll have our best bet segment at the very end of this show as well. And we kind of fly through these games because there's a lot to talk about. And we have four diverse opinions and personalities here, right? So we will fly through this as fast as we can, but there's a lot to cover. Jets and Patriots at New York. New York gets their first home game. They are 6.5-point favorites. Line opened up at 7. Not surprised that that dropped a little bit on this game. 37.5 is the total. Let's go right back to you, Patrick. Jets and Patriots, Aaron Rodgers' first AFC East divisional battle. Should be interesting to see how he handles it. Patriots in general, they've surprised me in a good way, right? Like they're hanging in these games. Jacoby Brissett continues to be a stabilizer. On the Jets side, I'm a little underwhelmed. I mean, that was an ugly win on Sunday. They were outgained by the Titans. But what say you, 3 days away, Jets and Patriots?
Yeah, it looks like Aaron Rodgers is still kind of settling into this offense just based off the first 2 weeks. And I think what we said week one still holds true. Is Jacoby Brissett's obviously not going to be the future of this franchise, but what he does is allows them to stay in these games and keeps it close. He's not going to lose the game for them per se. He's not taking shots downfield, but what he is, he's finding his kind of drop-offs in terms of Hunter Henry dropping it off to Ramondre Stevenson and basically just kind of chipping his way down the field, taking time off the clock, and just allowing their defense to just kind of do what they do, which is a fantastic unit to begin with. It's going to be interesting, too, because the Jets have struggled against the run this season. And you look at the Patriots, and all they really want to do is kind of run the ball and just kind of keep ticking time off that clock. So while it is tempting to take the Patriots, because they did cover in week one, obviously winning outright in Cincinnati, and then depending on the line in week two, I think it closed at 3, so they pushed that one in overtime. But if I remember correctly, I think it was up to like 4.5 earlier in the week too for Seattle. Yeah. Kind of came back towards New England at the end. I don't mind the Jets in this situation, actually. I'm going to go a little contrarian here, despite how good New England's looked this season. I like the Jets at home, and I think they're able to figure it out. I think their defense really settles in here, puts an emphasis on this run game, because when we look at this Pats wide receiving core, it's just not really existent at all. So I'm going to lay the number with the Jets here at 6.5. Obviously, I would like to get it at a better number, but I'm going to stick with 6.5 here.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me a little worried about a spread like this is we saw last week, like Kiev mentioned, right? I mean, all these teasers were destroyed last week too, because you had all the 6.5s. I believe every favorite that was 6 or more lost against the spread last week, and now immediately we have a 6.5-point favorite on Thursday night football, right? So a part of me is thinking, are the odds makers thinking we're just going to walk into this blindly and support the underdog, and then finally some of the favorites start to cover? I can't get there because of what you said, Patrick. I mean, the run game of the Patriots has been very good, over 170 yards per game. And, you know, they're hanging around. I mean, defensively, they kept the Seahawks to only one good drive in the second half last week, 106 total yards in the second half. Seattle also lucky to escape. Jake Cirkus, Patriots and Jets, what do you think about Thursday night?
Oh, wait, here we missed the opening number at 7. I was interested to see where that would go. Not surprised at all. It got hit down instantly. So it'll probably settle around 6.5. I have no interest at that number with the total of 37.5. If it does creep back up to 7, I could be convinced to play a little bit on the dog. I don't think that people are truly valuing this Jets defense correctly. I think that they were much better last year. And then, you know, Jermaine Johnson gets hurt. You lose Bryce Huff. The guy you replace Bryce Huff with, Hassan Reddick, is currently holding out. So there's just not much up front with this Jets defense right now. Their run defense is lost. Their pass rush is not nearly as lethal as they were last year. Very good in coverage, but the Patriots aren't going to want to pass the ball on early down. So I expect the Pats to be in a lot of third and shorts here in a low scoring game. Favors the dog, but I'll wait for a seven and maybe play it there, but nothing official.
Yeah, I lean to the under in this game, 237, a key number in totals. And both of these teams should be eating up the clock. Kiev, Jets, Patriots, what do you got?
It's crazy seeing all these low totals in the NFL, you know, in the 30s. It's almost depressing. It's like the league wants more scoring, yet there's just so many rules right now that it's just jacking these totals completely down. I am lower in the market on the Jets, but I'm way lower in the market on the Patriots because I'm not believing the Patriots that much. Seattle is kind of a team that struggles on the road in general. So, you know, I expected a closer game. I really wish I did take the Patriots last week. But at the same time, Bengals always lose their first game. You know, I mean, are we going to really say the Patriots are that great? It's more like the Bengals just crapping all over themselves. If you watch that game, it's just how bad they were. And the Patriots are still low in my power ratings. So I have an overlay here. I have this an 8-point spread. Now, I did play it, just like Patrick. I think that it was worth playing. The question I have is, did I take a bad number? Is it going to go down to six? I do expect that it probably goes down to six based upon the injuries. Now, CJ Mosley, I want him to play. I think he'll play. He didn't practice, and they estimated that he wasn't going to practice this week, but I still think Mosley will come in. But I also like the depth of the Jets at linebacker. They have a couple guys. You know, they prepared pretty well for the injuries, in my opinion, because Solomon Thomas is a great – well, sorry, he's more of an end, but he should be able to get in there. There's the Fatu injury. He's going to be able to play a little bit more. And then Chaz Surratt, you know, he's going to be able to step in as well, in my opinion, and I think he's going to have a pretty good game. Quincy Williams is still there. I think the Jets win by margin. I think Aaron Rodgers does slow it down, though. So it's really tough to play a favorite with such a low spread. I know. I just think this is where the Jets kind of come home, rally, big crowd, take care of the rival. Brissett looks lost.
Yeah, I could definitely see like something like a 20-10 win, you know, just looking ugly. But the Jets finally get it done and look a little bit more impressive. I have a top play on this game, so nothing official on this show for me. Like I said, I would also lean to the under. Let's go to the first game that we're going to talk about on Sunday. I'm going to go right back to you, Kiev, with this game because it is your Chicago Bears visiting the Indianapolis Colts. Colts are 1-point favorites right now, opened up around 1.5, so not too much movement. Totals around 43. What do you got here, Kiev?
You know, you see all these Bear fans freaking out right now about Caleb Williams and everything. I think this is just a massive overreaction this early. I will say that the coaching looks as lost as they were last year. The receivers were out of place. I am worried about the Bears offense getting into the gel of how they're supposed to play. You know, I mean, it's going to take a little bit longer than I thought, but that defense is so good, you know, and that's so good. And the Colts are just really bad at making mistakes. But where the Bears are going to win this game is on the ground, because you saw what Green Bay did to them on the ground. I think the Colts will probably try to improve that. But at the same time, you know, they just got banged up as well, and they just lost a pretty key guy in DeForest Buckner. That's like their best defensive tackle, you know. So you're looking at a pick'em game. In general, the Bears probably get it done through the run game. Anthony Richardson, a beast of a quarterback, but with the way the Bears are playing, I think he gets suckered into throwing a couple picks. And the Bears have that type of secondary that's able to grab the picks with guys like Johnson back there. Byard is there, obviously. Byard was an all-pro. They signed him, and Jaquan Brister has been fantastic. I think the Bears win. Am I betting it? I'm not sure, Chris.
Yeah, this is one of those spots. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago when I was in Circus Survivor, I had one entry. and I bet on the Chiefs, or I picked the Chiefs that week. It was week three at Indianapolis, I believe. Chiefs lose that game straight up. There was like a punt block, a punt return. Now, you know, you can't take anything from something 2 years ago, but this, for me, just, it scares me off the Bears a little bit, because the Colts, when they come home, especially after a shitty game, like I expect Shane Steichen is a good coach, in my opinion. I think he's going to figure things out for this team eventually. And Anthony Richardson just had so many errant throws and mistakes in that game that you just feel like they have to clean it up a little bit against the Chicago defense. Not exactly a great matchup, but I expect the Colts defense to show up big time at home too, you know, especially after losing that home opener. So slight lean to the Colts. I must say too, I tweeted something else, something about this. Caleb Williams, when he said to his team, or when he texted his punter, "Hey bro, you're not going to have to punt a lot this season. Like you're a rookie quarterback. Shut up and do not text your punter that." That is the most overconfident, believing in your own hype thing I've ever. Like, I think he's a good kid, but I'm just sensing that there's just like believing your own hype a little too much. And clearly with the offensive, like I love how there are tweets now about like, oh, the Bears offensive line. Like the, we knew that coming into the season that it could be a problem. So I'm not going to play on the Bears right now. I would lean on the Colts. Nothing strong for me at this time on this game. Jake Sturkus.
Let's just hope that Torrey Hunter is not the better pick than Caleb Williams when we look back at this.
Could be. Who knows? Jake Sturkus, Bears, Colts, week two, Colts slight favorites.
So interesting. So interesting seeing the, you know, the debates between people about Anthony Richardson. I think he has started 16 games combining college and NFL since he was in high school. So we don't have many data points to go off of. You know, when you watch his film at Florida, he was not a run first guy. People are like, why isn't he scrambling more? He didn't like to take many hits at Florida. He was more so a drop back passer. But we don't have many data points to go off of. But what I will predict is I think that this year specifically, we're going to see some home road splits with him. I think that going on the road in Lambeau was a tough spot for him, regardless of who was playing quarterback on the other side. That was actually one of the bets I hit on last week, was the Packers at a plus price. Now I think going back home in a matchup that I think more so favors the Colts, you got a complete coaching mismatch here. An offense that is completely out of sorts now going on the road. I'm not thrilled of it because of the injuries on the Colts defense. So like if there were to be a time where the Bears offense figures it out, it would come against this depleted back end secondary joke of a front seven, the front seven that I thought was going to be much better this year. But you know, you're allowing 250 rushing yards to the Packers, who don't have a quarterback that anybody trusts in that spot. It's not really encouraging, but anything under two, I'll play the Colts here in a coaching mismatch. Think we get some home road splits with Richardson. He'll be much better. The pulse will be in control. He'll be able to complete some throws here. Maybe we get Josh Downs back. So I like the Colts here at home.
Yeah, the Colts-Packers was my most regretful bet of the week. I was actually on the Colts. I was like, I'm choosing football over numbers, kids. And yeah, that worked out well, didn't it? Jake Sturkus, you know what I love about you? You bet like you're like 58 years old. Like you've been in the industry for 40 years. You are strict with your numbers, which I appreciate. because I just didn't see a route for the Packers to win that game. And then they run all over the Colts and control the entire game. So definitely a disappointing showing from the Colts. And I like what you said about Anthony Richardson at home. I could absolutely see that. Home road splits being very prominent all season. Patrick
Olympus, Malik too. Malik didn't make any mistakes in that game.
No mistakes. That's right. And it was a game completely crafted for him too, right? Which, you know, we need to point out Matt LaFleur, I in my mind, one of the best schemers in the game when it comes to specialized offenses and those sorts of situations. Patrick, Colts and Bears end us on this one.
Yeah, I mean, even LaFleur has been criticized in the past too, but you do have to give him credit for last week's performance. Just absolutely perfect. And I think Chicago tries to emulate that this week, just running the ball, like Kiev said. So I'm actually going to go with the under in this game here. I kind of like that. I see this as a low scoring game. I don't trust Anthony Richardson, but Jake does make a good point in terms of the data size isn't that large here. But it is a terrible kind of get right spot for him going up against the Chicago defense, especially while it is at home. This isn't like he's facing a bottom tier defense where he can kind of figure out this offense. It's not that weak by any means. I kind of see this as maybe a 2017 game 21-14 game. So I like the under here at 43.
I like it. All right, let's move on to the New York Football Giants at the Cleveland Browns in week three. And obviously I'm a Giants fan, so I'm going to start off by talking about football and not numbers, right? Because we have, this is pretty classic, right? We have an 0-2 team. They're getting shellacked by the media right now. Like, you know, Daboll, no kicker. Like, what's going on with the Giants? They're absolutely terrible. And they're going to Cleveland. You know, Cleveland off a really impressive win, I think. You know, defense really stepping up in that one. But I'm not trusting it. Like, I'm not taking the numbers with the Giants. I'm not going to have an official play on this game because it is my New York Giants. But I do not trust the Giants at all. The Giants and Daniel Jones offense against the Cleveland Browns defense returning home after their initial home opening loss is a laughable matchup, in my opinion. I think the Browns, I think the Giants are going to have to turn it, the Browns would have to turn it over like four times for the Giants to hang in this game. Do not trust the Giants at all here, but someone talk me off of it. Someone show me some support for the New York Giants. Let me go to Patrick first. Giants and Browns, week three. Browns are 6.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because this line opened at 6.5 here, and then on some books, it's already started to move down to 6, which is pretty interesting here, given the past performances we've seen from the Giants the last 2 weeks and kind of lack of coaching ability from Daboll. Obviously, he came from Buffalo, and I thought he'd be a pretty good head coach, but he's just kind of hasn't figured it out yet. This is a complete stay away game for me. I don't really trust the Giants in any situation in Cleveland. While they did have a bounce back in week two here, I'm going to need to see some more film from them before we kind of move forward and I put money on them. So I'm staying away from this game.
So you too do not trust the New York Giants. Can't say
I don't trust either team. So it's not just the Giants here. Yeah.
Yeah. I doubt this drops under a 6, but again, maybe Sharps loving an 0-2 team. I just don't think this is the team to love. Kiev, Browns hosting the Giants. The total, by the way, is at 37.5. And, I expect it to hang around that number and definitely lean under from my perspective on this one, just because I don't see the Giants scoring. Kiev, Browns and Giants, what do you got?
I definitely lean under. This is one of those situations where, you know, it's funny. In what you say, Chris, it's like these high spreads in the NFL. You got to be very careful. I don't see how the Giants really move the ball against this Cleveland defense. And, you know, it's just the Daniel Jones is going to look good when he plays those defenses like you saw last week when he plays like a Carolina, right? Hopefully he gets to play Carolina this year. I have to look at that schedule. You know, he's going to look good against, just some of the weaker defenses in the league, like you saw a little bit against Washington. But I think when he gets swallowed up by guys like Myles Garrett, it's just going to go really bad and spiral under control. This is one of those weird games where you're like, okay, I'm looking at the under, but maybe Daniel Jones gives them 3 touchdowns. You know, it's 6. I don't, if it gets to 5.5, I'm definitely playing the Browns, but I'm not excited about it. You know, it's a situation where you can see all the problems with the Browns kind of come up. If you watch that game last week against Jacksonville, it was a lot about Jacksonville just kind of screwing up, right?
Yep.
A little bit less about just how the Browns look so awesome. You know, I didn't think that. As a matter of fact, I didn't take that. As a matter of fact, the Jaguars outgained the Browns 323-297, you know? So, you know, not excited to play the Browns, but I probably will find a way to do it, whether it have to be a parlay piece or just laying the points. So those are my thoughts. Nothing played yet.
Yeah, it feels like Doug Peterson, too. I mean, boy, is his stock kind of fallen, right? Like, former Super Bowl champion with the Eagles, apparently led that team, but also had a great coaching staff. We saw that, you know, a lot of those coaches go on to other teams. I feel like all the Philly fans are like, it's all about Nicky Foles at this point. Like, Doug Peterson, I'm not sure what's going on there in Jacksonville with him and Trevor Lawrence. Jake Cirkus, the what game are we talking about? Oh, yeah, still my Giants. The Browns at home hosting the Giants, low total. What do you got here?
Yeah, I actually just had to make a bet live on the show. I got an alert that the Eagles just went to +3, so we'll talk about that game later. But Giants this is the pick that I want to take for a survivor, right? But like, I think both quarterbacks are in trouble here because, as you know, Garrett and his boys will be talked about a lot attacking Daniel Jones. But this Cleveland offensive line is in trouble without their 2 tackles. They've allowed the second highest pressure rate in the league other than behind the Titans, who are at 1 with just an unbeatable margin of 50% pressure rate. So I think both defensive lines will have success here. It might take me off of Cleveland for Survivor here, because you might get a just a super high variance game of whoever fumbles more, whichever quarterback fumbles more loses the game. But I'm nowhere close here on a bet. I don't know how this Cleveland team wins by margin at all this year with the way Watson's been playing. And, you know, they had every chance to win by 20 against Jacksonville, let him back into the game. Thankfully, still covered and, you know, won outright as a dog. But I have no interest in taking this Giants team after what I saw, after what they did for me. First team, they're the first team ever in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns, allow 0, and lose the game outright. And they lost to a rookie quarterback. Like, I don't even know how that's possible.
That's one of the first things I said to my middle schoolers in the morning. I was like, my Giants set records this weekend. Do you guys know what records we set? Nobody knew it, of course, because no one pays attention to the NFL in middle school, I guess. Not these days. They're playing video games. All right, let's move on to the next game, the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans. The Titans are catching, well, they're not, yeah, the 3-point chalk at home, hosting the Green Bay Packers. Of course, Tennessee's 0-2. They probably could be 2-0, guys, right? But just Will Levis, stupid mistakes. Titans defense fighting hard. Now here comes Malik Willis. Is this the Malik Willis revenge game at Tennessee? I'm not so sure. I'm not sure if I'm going to trust Malik Willis to do it 2 weeks in a row. Let's go right back to you, Jake. The Titans hoping for their first win here against the Packers, who just got their first win.
Yeah, maybe I'm just like the Malik Willis whisperer. I had a great read on the game last week. I think I have another great read on this one. Fortunately, I missed the number at 1.5 at open. I kind of wanted to see where the market would go, and it just shot up to 3 last night. And I completely agree with it. I think everyone's going to be wanting to buy back in on their Packers stock here, going on the road to face a Titans team that I might be the only one in the world that still wants to bet on. I still think we've seen some good stuff with the Titans. They have a second-year quarterback and a rookie head coach, but I think they've run some good stuff. They have a great left side of the offensive line. The right side needs some help, but I love what I've seen from this defense. I think this is a much tougher matchup for Malik Willis, and you know, I don't think LaFleur is going to be able to, you know, run outside and just run for 200 yards on this Titans team. So I think Malik will have to make some throws, all pass at 3. But if we get some Packers love, maybe a service gives out the Packers at 3, and I can certainly see myself getting involved at 2.5. We'll see what it is in contest. But I certainly lean the Titans here at home. 0-2 desperation spot against a backup quarterback on the road. I have no problem with it. I mean, I'm not shying away from betting on the Titans for the third straight week here.
Yeah, and this, you know, instead of thinking it as a Malik Willis revenge game, I'm more so thinking about it as this is a Tennessee team who knows Malik Willis, right? So yeah. I don't think they're going to be intimidated whatsoever. And that defense has been playing up. Like I give the coaching staff a lot of credit there. I mean, I you know, Tennessee lost some key parts in this offseason, but they're still playing hard. Legarius Sneed playing excellently at the cornerback position. That's a big pickup for them in the offseason. He is paying dividends already. Kiev, the home team Tennessee Titans, looking for their first win, 3-point favorites. What do you got here?
Man, I really wish that people think it's a Malik Willis revenge game, Chris, because I do need this number down with Jake as well. I think the Titans can clean house with their old quarterback because they know everything about him, you know. And even a genius like Matt LaFleur is not going to be able to, you know, get this thing going. Almost even a little bit of a letdown spot that the Packers were able to win last week. But I'm not so sure it's Malik Willis yet. I'm not. You know, they're sneaky over there. I think anybody from the Kyle Shanahan tree is sneaky. You know, he's been just reserving information this whole season, which I think the NFL is an absolute joke about injuries that not like, oh, we thought he would play. Shut up. You know, seriously, come on. Don't bullshit us. I think that there's a chance Love can play now. Find out he doesn't. I'm going to play either the money line or I'll lay 3. I'd rather lay 2.5, but I was just not going to make a bet until I know that information.
Yep, I like it. Okay, we got some Tennessee support on the show. Patrick, what do you say? Are you also leaning towards the Titans?
Yeah, the NFL is almost getting as bad as the PGA in terms of injury reports when you have your guy withdraw on a Thursday morning after not hearing anything about it. It's absolutely brutal here. I lean Titans in this situation, but like Kiev said, it's Jordan Love's questionable. He's not doubtful. He's questionable. I don't think he will play in this situation here, but given that numbers moved to 3, that's a stay away from me. like you said, the Green Bay had kind of that perfect scheme last week where they just decided to kind of run the ball and limit Malik Willis's kind of turnover range, whatever he could do here. The Titans know him, and they do have a much better defense. So if Malik Willis is confirmed, I doubt this number moves back to 2.5 here in this situation, but I'll probably stay away from me.
All right, let's move on to the next one, which Jake just mentioned, Eagles and Saints. This number is up to 3 now on the Saints hosting the Eagles. Big NFC battle, I guess you would say at this point, because there are some people who are really believing the hype of the Saints. And I'll just start off by saying this. Saints face, I think we would all agree, the worst team in the NFL in week one. They do what they're supposed to do, right? I mean, they blow them out. And then they visit the Cowboys, who the Cowboys were off a big win. And we know how the Cowboys are. When they come off a big win, they come back home, they're feeling fat and sassy, probably a little overconfident. Mike McCarthy has a tough time coaching in those scenarios, and the Saints lay it on the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys were, you know, a team where a lot of people were selling stock on them heading into the season, and then they quickly reversed their perspective right after week one. So that's also maybe not that surprising. Now you got the Eagles coming off a disappointing loss on Monday night. Now this is up to 3. Of course, they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Eagles still with a very talented roster and hoping to turn things around now after a very disappointing loss. So let me go to Kiev first in this one. Eagles catching 3 points. And, you know, it's just going to be hard for me to not to want to take that, Kiev. Oh, I think you're on mute, buddy.
Sorry, minus 120 at DK right now, +3. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with the Saints, you know what I mean? I was one of the few people that took their season win total over. Did I have a little bit of buyer's remorse? I'm gonna be honest. I did a little bit. I did because of Clint Kubiak. And then I'm, you know, but Chris, when you listen to as many shows as you and I do, you know, we have all you guys actually. You know, you just hear this stuff and you let things get in your head. But I didn't buy back, and I'm kind of happy about it because these Saints are definitely. I see. There's a couple teams that I think are for real, and there's a couple that I still don't think are for real. The Saints, I think, are kind of for real right now. Is it a for real to lay 3 points at home in a letdown spot against the Eagles? No. I'll take 3 probably on the Eagles, but I mean, my power ratings say to do that, and I think it's a great bounce back spot. Now people will say short week, but I mean, the Eagles, they can control games. I think a lot of the Eagles games, just like last year, is going to finish just very close. But the Eagles as a dog has always been a good play with Jalen Hurts. But, you know, the reason I think Carr is being so good is you got to kind of think about perspective. Saints fans hated him last year. They have a lot of sports radio in New Orleans. And imagine just being Derek Carr and just hearing that, you know. Got a new OC. You get your ass to work. You got to work. Kamara is finally healthy. DeMario Davis and their defense looking solid. Yeah, they punch people in the mouth, man. So they're a little scary. But 3 is a little bit too much. So I'm going to give you a strong lean to the Eagles.
Yeah, a little scary for sure. And a thing that scares me about this game, supporting the Eagles from a football perspective, you know, I think we would all agree from a numbers perspective, which 9 times out of 10, right, you're usually on the right side if you're focused on the market. But from a football perspective, that Eagles defense is just not giving me much to believe in, right? And Vic Fangio coming from Miami, a struggling defense there too. The guy doesn't blitz. They need more of a pass rush, and they cannot stop the run to save their life. I mean, I know it's Bijan Robinson, but the Atlanta Falcons were rolling right over them in key situations on Monday Night Football. So if Alvin Kamara can keep up the momentum that he has, I worry a little bit about the Eagles' defense in this situation. They will absolutely have to play ball control on this one because there's an explosive element, apparently, to the Clint Kubiak Saints offense. Patrick, Saints and Eagles. Eagles catching 3 on the road and obviously wanting a win. And this total is really high, too. It's up to 50, one of the higher totals of the week. What do you got here?
Yeah, Kiev mentioned New Orleans sports radio. Imagine how Jalen Hurts feels today on Philadelphia sports talk radio, too. I'm sure he doesn't have that on in the car. You said it's the highest total of the week, and I think it is for a reason here. I do like the over. Like we said, New Orleans offense is just rolling right now, and Philly's defense has shown nothing the first 2 weeks that they can stop him in any means. The Saints defense, while improved, I think has some holes as well here. They allowed 10 points to the Carolina Panthers, which you could say is not great. 19 to Dallas last week in a letdown spot for the Cowboys here. So while the total is a little high, I kind of lean the over in this situation. I think we see a shootout. I think Jalen Hurts figures it out, especially with this balanced offensive attack with Saquon, who could run the ball. So I like the over here at 49.5, I think, on DraftKings right now.
Yeah, personally, I'm going to have to get over my emotions. I'm a little terrified to take any overs in the NFL after the kind of support I've been given out there. But I agree with you as far as the narrative of this game and how it should go. Jake Cirkus, Saints and Eagles, you were talking about this game as you saw the lines move. So what do you like in this one?
Yeah, it's a juice three at only DK. We'll see if that becomes consensus and if it becomes unjuiced, but I feel like I had to play it immediately. It's just one of those, like, I did it now, so in 2 days when it's at 2.5, I can be like, okay, fine. Like, I feel a little bit better about this. I'm still not in complete belief about the Saints team. I think they got the Cowboys at the right week. Obviously, beating the Panthers week one doesn't impress anybody. Give them credit for the game plan. I mean, Micah Parsons for sure did, hearing his comments. That defense was completely confused. And, you know, you look at what Mike Zimmer's doing over there and you're like, I don't know anymore. But I still have faith in the Cowboys that they'll get it right. But Kubiak was one of those hires that you just weren't sure about going into the season. And then through 2 weeks, you're like, oh, he's a genius. Why wouldn't you hire Kubiak to fix all your problems? And now the Saints look like geniuses and Derek Carr is now getting praise. So I think it's a perfect spot to just say, I don't believe it, and buy back on the other side and get a key number of three. I don't feel great about it, but it's, again, what's one of those numbers that you just have to play. We'll see what the market does with this throughout the next couple of days, though.
Yeah, and speaking about sports media, I mean, Nick Sirianni is going to be hearing it all week too, right? I mean, how do you not give the ball to Saquon Barkley in those goal line situations? As I watched my over bet
well, I don't think it was
over and over again in that game. It's like, just give the ball to Saquon on one third down and three, please. Just try it out, Nick. But it just didn't happen. So
not just that, Chris. I think they should have gone for it on fourth down. The analytics back it up.
100%.
You would have most likely just gone to overtime, because if you're up three, if you don't get it, you're up three. Atlanta's not going for a touchdown. They're gonna play more conservative, play for overtime. Yeah. So worst case, you go to overtime. Best case, you end the game there. I just think that coaches make that mistake a lot when they're up three. Oh, we want to go up six and make them score a touchdown. But if you're up three, they're not going to score a touchdown anyway. So maybe we'll see some adjustments with the scene there in the NFL with these coaches.
Yeah, as annoyed as I was by that total not going over, it was nice to see Kirk Cousins, wholesome Kirk Cousins, just go right down the field and shred that Eagles defense. Because as you know, I hate the Eagles. Okay, let's move on and talk about two 2-0 teams, the Los Angeles Chargers at the Pittsburgh Steelers, two teams that are kind of built very similarly, right? Jim Harbaugh turning things around, offense is not making mistakes, defense is fighting really hard. And, I was like yelling on our show last week about Jim Harbaugh and the culture and how he's turning it around. And I didn't take the Chargers last week because I was still timid about the Panthers. Probably not going to be timid about that anymore. But Pittsburgh doing a very similar thing here, right? Justin Fields just kind of keeping things stable, not making too many mistakes, defense playing hard. This has moved down, opened up at 2.5 in favor of the Steelers, and now down to 1 or 1.5 at some books, 2 at some others. So we're seeing some fluctuation here. Let's go right back to Jake Cirkus, Chargers and Steelers, week 3. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, Herbert's been about average this year. He hasn't really done a whole lot. The run game's been fantastic. They faced two really bad run defenses, so I think we're going to see some regression in that. They'll have to make some plays on the road. I initially leaned Pittsburgh, but normally my rule of thumb is totals under 36. With low spreads, I just don't play it, because I mean, like, play that the spread, because like the books are telling you, oh, one play is gonna decide this game. It's and most likely with these teams, it's gonna be on a defensive touchdown, defensive turnover, like Fields throwing a pick and on his own 15 and ending the game there. I have no interest here. I lean Pittsburgh because of the defense, and I think the Chargers are not as good as they're rated right now in the market because of who they face. But again, the Steelers haven't given me any signs of reason to buy, because they have one offensive touchdown. We know the defense is good. We expected that preseason that they were probably even going to get a little better based on the pieces that they've brought in the last couple of years, and they look like the best of it defense in that division after some initial, you know, buy on the Browns preseason. But I have nothing here. I will not be betting this game.
Yeah, tough road spot for the Chargers too, playing at Carolina last week. I don't know their travel schedule, but I imagine they fly back home. I mean, maybe they stay on the East Coast, you know, because they are staying on the East Coast. Then they're going to have to go up to Pittsburgh. So tough two-game road spot across the country here for the Chargers. And I must say, how funny is it that, again, another season, everybody talking shit about the Steelers. The Steelers are 2-0. I mean, they're on their way to a winning season. It's the best start you can have, right? So
yeah.
Mike Tomlin making it happen once again. Patrick, Chargers and Steelers week 3.
So the Chargers are staying on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So they're not flying back this week. Correct. Yep. So they are. It's going to be interesting too, right? Because Justin Herbert's been pretty limited in the first two games here. J.K. Dobbins has kind of emerged in that running back room as the RB1. Pittsburgh's defense only allows those 76 yards per game here. So this is going to be the first kind of real test, I think, for Justin Herbert. While he hasn't looked great, but he hasn't been asked to do a lot too in the first two games. So this is going to be pretty interesting. I don't trust the Steelers by any means here. I think this is going to be pretty much another boring game that Pittsburgh plays here. I think it's just punt after punt pretty much for this game, but I don't have a plan here. I don't like this number at 2.5. Usually when Pittsburgh's favored, I try to go against them here, but I'm not so high on the Chargers this season.
Yeah, and the total in this game is unsurprisingly the lowest on the slate, I believe, 35.5. Yeah. And, I mean, that's under some key numbers, but I would even think about going under that total. And, you know, it is the Steelers' home opener, okay? So that's something to think about. But at the same time, Jim Harbaugh staying on the East Coast, I'm glad you guys know that information, because I feel like that's a camaraderie builder, right? He's going to take them bowling, and then they're going to go to church, and then they're going to go to Hooters, like, and they're just going to have a great time. And, you know, like that's what Jim Harbaugh does with these teams. So I expect them to come in playing well again. Let's see if the Justin Fields show can continue. Well, not really the Justin Fields show, but you know what I mean. Kiev, Steelers, Chargers, week 3.
You know, where does the time go, Chris? I mean, it's already been here 42 minutes. It's just so fast. I got a hard stop at the top of the hour, but I'm going to bring this all the way to 9:59. I just want to say I love it when teams stay in the East Coast, but TJ Watt is my favorite player. I was yelling on Twitter that he should be one of the top picks. He wasn't. I would love to reshare that if I can find it. But, I have Pick'em. I have perfect Pick'em, but I will say that this is going to be my favorite teaser leg of the whole weekend is going to be the Chargers. I just do not see the Pittsburgh win by margin. I think the Chargers are going to, with this low total, is going to keep it within 7.5 to 8.5 points. This is definitely a teaser territory for me.
Well, I love that. And I see some other very suitable options to pair with that. So maybe we'll hear a little bit more from Kiev about another leg of that teaser on the show. Let's move on for the sake of time. We got the Houston Texans traveling to probably the surprise team of the NFL this season so far, the 2-0 Minnesota Vikings. Sam Darnold getting MVP yelled at him from a few accounts, at least that I see on Twitter. It is a long season, folks, but Sam Darnold is playing well. Minnesota is catching 1-2 points. They're 2.5 point underdogs in most books. I'm seeing a +1 at Bet Online, so that's interesting. But you know, Houston under 3 here as chalk. I would say, you know, coming into the season, if you have Houston at this number, you're probably taking it. But are you taking it at this point, seeing what Minnesota has put on the field? Let me go right back to you, Kiev. Minnesota at home for another week, and they're looking pretty darn good. What do you got on this one?
Houston's my best bet of the weekend. I prefer money line or -1 at -122 that you can get. Money lines, plenty of them out there at -135. The Vikings is one team I do not believe. You know, the Niners came into the Vikings last year and lost. So the Vikings have Sam Darnold, just the biggest spot of his life, getting his old coach back. You know who he was to play, but let's face it. If Chris and I had a freaking cannon of an arm, all we had to do is just whip that thing up for Justin Jefferson, right? I mean, I'm not going to give a ton of credit for him doing that, okay? That was part of it. But it was also Brock Purdy fumbling. You look at how the Niners got so many yards. It was just a great spot to bet the Vikings, but I still do not believe the Vikings are that good. Would they play the Giants? I have to look at some teams as overreaction teams. And I think this spread is a massive overreaction. I think CJ Stroud's going to go over there and cut him up. Sam Darnold's still drunk from the weekend. This is my best bet of the week, and I have a big overlay. -4.5, I think the Texans should be, in my opinion.
I love it. An assertive bet on the Houston Texans for Kiev. Actually, let me play this because I've been looking forward to playing this little video overlay here. Oh, best bet of the week for Kiev.
Oh,
Houston Texans taking on the Minnesota Vikings at Minnesota. Jake Cirkus, are you aligned with Kiev here? What do you say?
About, I would say 6 days ago, I would be thrilled to take the Vikings here at 4.5, 5. Now that it's, been hit down pretty hard, deservingly so, based on the way these teams have looked. I don't think Houston's been a great 2-0 team, so maybe we can buy. This is a buy low on Houston, who have, I don't think have looked good at all. Probably a stay away for me if it kind of stays at 2.5. I would say, I would halfly agree with Kiev on the Vikings. I don't believe their offense, but I do believe this defense. This was the most improved defense in the league last year with Brian Flores. Now, he returns. They sign Blake Cashman. They get Andrew Van Ginkel in the building, and those two players have been phenomenal for them so far. So I do buy this defense. Think it's not an ideal matchup for CJ Stroud on the road, but it's in a dome, so we could easily see a shootout here. If it wasn't in a dome, I would take the under here, but it is in a dome, so we could see some, high-flying offenses here. Probably a stay away for me, but a game that I will certainly have my eyes peeled to the television on. Watching this game on Sunday morning.
Yeah, not the highest total too. It's around 45.5. So, could definitely see in a dome some offense in this one. I will say about the Texans, Jake, is I agree with you. Like, it hasn't been that great. I feel like CJ Stroud is almost playing like extra carefully, right? Like, he doesn't want to believe the hype too soon. He doesn't want to get too excited. And he doesn't quite have the same aggression that he had when he started last season. I think the Houston Texans are going to steadily improve throughout the season and look better and better because they haven't looked that great. Yeah. And they still buttoned up and won those games when they had to. And they really should have beat the Bears by more. That was, guess what, boys? I had Houston -6.5. And of course they fumble on the goal line in the final 3 minutes. Anyway, on to Patrick, Houston, Minnesota. What do you got here, buddy?
Yeah. Houston's kind of played with their food the first few weeks, it seems like, too, especially with Indy. Like, that wasn't a clean win by any means. They almost lost that game. Chicago had an opportunity to win the game on Monday night. So I wouldn't say the Texans have looked great by any means. And I think we kind of reflect that. It opened at 3.5. It is now down to 2.5 here. Jake mentioned too, the over is certainly tempting at 45, given, I'd say, more so how Minnesota's offense has looked the first few weeks rather than Houston's. But this is a stay away spot for me. I think both these defense come to play here. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see some sharp money come in on this under, but I'm going to stay away from this one.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's right at that middle number, right? Like, you see the lower totals around 41 or so. You see the higher ones around 48. So it's hanging in the middle there. Maybe we'll see some movement. I think movement either way might be
advantageous. It'd almost be more tempting if it was closer to the kind of 47 range.
Yep. Okay, let's move forward here. Denver Broncos visiting the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I have this one circled as a big-time regression spot. Listen, I am very impressed by Tampa Bay through two games, sure. And the fact that they won those games. But, you look at that game last week, right? The Lions more than doubled Tampa Bay in total yards. I mean, more than doubled, right? The 450-something Tampa Bay just had just over 200. And then obviously just a lot of Detroit Lions errors on the field, turnovers by Jared Goff. I think just an expectation from the Lions and their fans and the team that they're going to win that game. Baker Mayfield and Tampa continue to fight hard and play really well. Their defense making some plays when it matters, that's for sure. But this is the classic 2-0 team that's not quite as good as they probably seem, and an 0-2 team that's been hanging around, right? Like, the Broncos have a lot of work to do, but their defense has been hanging around. Bo Nix made a lot of mistakes last week. Guys, it's going to be tough for me to not want to take the Denver Broncos getting a 7 in this spot. I know it's on the road, but you look at a very classic 0-2 versus 2-0 spot with an inflated line. I see major inflation here in this spread. Before the season, you definitely wouldn't have had a 7 on the Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm going to go right back to Patrick. Bucks and Broncos with Bucks catching seven. I mean, they're getting 7 points at home as chalk.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little contrarian here. I am not a Bo Nix believer by any means. I've said this once before. He's lost me a ton of money in college, and I don't think he's a great quarterback overall by any means. This defense, too, we saw what Tampa Bay was able to do against Detroit last weekend, too. So I think despite the spread being 7, I love it. I'm taking Tampa Bay -7 here. Obviously, you can get – I think you can get 6.5 on maybe 1 or 2 books. And if that's the case, I'll grab that. But even at 7, I still like it.
How dare you disagree with me on the NFL roundtable, Patrick? Oh, my God. All right, let's go to Jake Cirkus. Bucks and Broncos. Bucks -7 at home.
Kiev was talking about the teams he doesn't believe in. I believed in the Bucks last year with like them catching people by surprise. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in them at all this year. I think they're poorly coached. I think they got Detroit at just the worst week possible. Detroit outgained them by almost 250 yards. They win that game if they don't take a 10-second runoff going into half. They would kick a field goal, and then they wouldn't need to go for it on 4th and goal from the 9 at the end. They would just kick the game-winning field goal, and we wouldn't even be talking about this. This line would probably be 4.5, 5. Such a big overreaction. This isn't as much buying on buying Denver here. This is just buying or selling on Tampa. This was the first bet I made at plus seven on Sunday night, maybe Monday morning when it opened there. I have no buyer's remorse taking Denver at the +7. I think it's a coaching mismatch. We're just looking for a touchdown or two, and I think this number covers easily. I don't think, you know, Tampa's offense is really that high flying as it was last. They got some dudes, but you know, we saw what a good defense in Detroit did to them. Certainly could have been less than 20 points from Tampa on Sunday. I just think that 20-16 score was the most misleading score of the week, other than maybe Raiders Ravens. But that 2016 score is just incredibly misleading.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, Sean Payton happens to know Tampa Bay a little bit, right? He's been to Tampa Bay plenty of times before playing in the NFC South. So interesting recipe there for Sean Payton. I think a coach who came into this season absolutely thinking that the team was going to improve. They ended last season really well. And okay, a rough start. You expect that from someone like Bo Nix too, but this is just the ultimate circle spot in my opinion. Kiev, finish us up here. Tampa Bay at home catching or getting 7 points -7.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, this was one of the most misleading box scores of the week, as you mentioned, Cirk. You know, what was it, 463-216?
Yeah, they were moving the ball just every drive.
They had like multiple first downs, like 5 of them within their 25-yard line ready to score. And I mean, this is Jared Goff looking bad. This was a depleted Buccaneers secondary, and Goff just could not get it done. You know, it was one of those situations. I think an ugly pick is – this is a great ugly pick at Denver +7. You know, I think it's just one of those situations where you can't upgrade the Bucs in your power ratings for what happened. You know, that you just can't. And as a matter of fact, you could downgrade them. It's just – and that's why last week was just so crazy. It's like all these outgaining teams losing. But, you know, I like the play with Denver. So you got me over the table, Cirk. I'll join you with the Broncos here at +7. And I do believe this is going to go down to 6.5, possibly even a 6. And since I have to go, we'll do the Bengals -7.5 for the other teaser leg, Chris.
Nice. Are you about to leave us, Kev?
With the Chargers. Yeah. I have an appointment on the top of the hour. But really, really happy I was able to join you guys. And I look forward to doing a lot more. This is a ton of fun.
Absolutely. This is what the NFL Roundtable is all about. People come and go sometimes, but Kiev, thank you so much for being here on the Roundtable and giving us your best bet, my man.
Great seeing y'all. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right. We got some consensus here on the Denver Broncos +7. I like it, Jake. Probably going to be on my betting card in week 3 as well. All right. Yeah, let's go.
One more thing on this game, because Kiev mentioned it, the depleted secondary. They still are a little bit. We'll see if Winfield plays. Vita Vea, grade 2 MCL strain. I mean, Winfield and Vea, are they worth 0.5 point to the spread, we think? I mean, this spread's going, like, it opened 7 got bought back down, but I'd argue that those two defensive players are worth at least a half a point to the spread the other way if you know they don't go.
Yeah, especially for a Broncos team that wants to run the ball, and you know they haven't had a ton of success in the first two games, but the Tampa Bay's defense is not the same against the run like they used to be. So, you know, but Detroit had plenty of success last week. I could definitely see some improvement on that end. All right, let's go Panthers and Raiders. The Carolina Panthers, obviously coming off of two of the worst showings of any team through 2 weeks in the NFL season. Now Bryce Young, hashtag sad, is being benched, and here comes the Red Rocket, right? Here comes Andy Dalton, which you saw that line, that spread move immediately when that was announced, because Andy Dalton is a guy that, again, like a Jacoby Brissett at this point in his career, he can keep a team afloat. He can keep them in the game. And there has to be some like accelerated belief in the locker room because of that a little bit, right? Like no one can like the product on the field. I guess the question here is, are the problems with the Carolina Panthers deeper than just Bryce Young? I think that answer mostly is yes, but what that can do for a team, especially against a program like the Raiders, who, you know, this isn't a top tier team. Hard for me to not want to take the Panthers, but of course this line has already moved down, opened up at 7, right? In favor of the Raiders, because they thought it was Bryce Young. Now it is down to 5.5 in most books. Going to go right back to you, Jake Cirkus, Panthers and Raiders in week 3.
Oh God. I look like such a fool. But I was not going to bet this if it
your
was
your undying
Bryce Young.
Support of the Panthers. Undying.
I was not going to bet this when it was Bryce Young, but I was driving my car around and I got the alert on my phone. I was not texting and driving, but I looked down and I saw it, and I saw that he was benched, and I pulled over and I took +7 before it went down. And now it's at 5.5. So I'm not the only one. Like I am not on an island here. I might be on an island for, you know, a person who, you know, places some bets every Sunday morning and sees the Panthers the worst team ever and see they're laying less than 6. Sure, we'll take Raiders. They think I'm an idiot. They think I'm insane, that I have no idea what I'm doing. But I promise I'm not the only one who is loving the spot here with Andy Dalton. I think they're going to be more competent. Maybe even open the playbook up. And, you know, this Canales making this move proves to me that he at least knows what he's doing, because there's a lot of guys that would not make this move because it makes the franchise look a little bad that you said, like, this is your guy all offseason, that you have the pieces now, and then you go away from him through 2 weeks. But it's just so clear that he's not the answer, at least in this very moment with how the team is currently built. But Dalton's a pro. This is not a good Vegas team. That is, you know, I will explain Danny Dalton like this. I watched him for 9 years with my Bengals. He is a pro. He can make throws. He's not going to escape. He's not going to create, but he can get the ball to the guys that they have. Can they find a run game against a horrible run defense? Hopefully. But I got the +7. I'd still take it at 5.5. Maybe it gets bought back up. I'd for sure wait till later in the week, but we're back, man. We're back on it.
Yeah, finally, one of those early numbers might just pay off, Jake, on the Carolina Panthers. And I will say about Andy, I mean, there's something about him where he exudes confidence, right? Whether it should be there or not, when he steps in, he's going to be a confident quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, which is not something the Panthers have had for a season and 2 games now. And you got to think, maybe Dave Canales trying to save his job a little bit here ultimately, or maybe try to save his reputation at this point. They're not going to fire him that quickly, right? But he doesn't want this losing train to continue. Patrick, what do you got on this one, Panthers and Raiders?
Yeah, you talk about gross bets, and this is exactly what this is too. And then a misleading score last week with the Raiders winning. Everything tells you the Raiders should win this game by a touchdown, right? Like Gardner Minshew figured it out last week. They have a great kind of balanced passing attack now. Brock Bowers finally got involved. He's going to be a star in the NFL. He's able to find a few of his wide receivers. The run game looked a little bit better. Carolina's O-line doesn't look great. Raiders have a great defensive line in Max Crosby, right? Like, everything's telling you the Raiders should win this game. That being said, love the Panthers in this spot here. 5.5, complete letdown spot for this Raiders. Agree what Jake said. Wish I got that 7, but 5.5, maybe I don't think it goes back up to six either. I think 5.5 is going to be kind of the best number we see on this team come Sunday, but I like it.
Do we know, I mean, I completely forgot Sunday morning. Did that Chargers number close at six? Do we know? Because it was 5.5 Saturday, and I think there was some buyback Sunday morning, you know, when most other people make their bets on Sunday morning.
That would be surprising if it closed at six.
Like, that could be a situation what we're looking for, because obviously there was a huge drop midweek with Carolina when all the pros came in for the second consecutive week. You know, we're all dumb. We're idiots. Why would we do that? But I think that it might. There's a chance that we could see a six here. The seven is gone with Andy. I mean, we saw the total spike up 2 points yesterday just off that news. So it seems like a lot of people in Vegas have Andy Dalton power rated higher than Bryce Young, and I don't see how you wouldn't have that. And Dalton played last year. He almost covered against Seattle in a game that he almost outright won. But they put up almost 30 points in that game against Seattle. So he's not a guy who's you're just signing off the street. He's been in this system the whole offseason. He's been with the team for a while, knows these guys. Yep. This is a great spot for Dalton, I think, against a bad team.
Not much of a fantasy guy, but it's probably a great spot for Adam Thielen and some of those wide receivers, too, who just have not been fed anything through 2 weeks and are going to be excited to see the ball come in their direction a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, Carolina receiving props, receptions over whether it's 3.5 or maybe even you get, I doubt it's 4.5, but that could be a sneaky prop play this week too, whether you're looking at Thielen or even Johnson.
Yep, the secondary of the Raiders, not very good. It's all about their defensive line. And Max Crosby, by the way, I mean, you know, that's the thing. When you have a player like that, he's very TJ Watt-like, right? He can just upend an entire game. And he was really fantastic in some spots against the Raiders last week. All right, we are 1 hour into the NFL Roundtable. We appreciate everybody who's watching live on Twitter. Again, this will be available on YouTube and via podcast as well. Kiev has left us, but he joined us for the first hour of the show, and he gave out his best bet, which is on the Houston Texans. And he said he's also going to tease up the Los Angeles Chargers. His other teaser leg is the Cincinnati Bengals, bringing them down. Big thank you to Kiev for joining us today. And we have 7 games left. Let's try to get to those 7 games in 30 minutes. Easier said than done. We'll try to fly through a few of these at least. Starting with the Miami Dolphins at the Seattle Seahawks. This number has dropped a little bit in favor of the Dolphins. Seattle was 6.5-point favorites at the opener, now down to 5. You know, maybe it's just because Mike McDaniel and they're thinking, you know, Sharps are thinking anyway that, you know, the Dolphins know that they're in a desperate situation. Mike McDaniel's game plan is going to put together a really good one here heading up to Seattle. But I personally don't buy that from a football perspective. Tua going down, it puts a cloud over the Miami Dolphins. We saw that a few seasons ago, or maybe it was last season. Where does time go? I don't know. But we saw that product before, and it wasn't very good. Going up against the 12th man in Seattle, against the Seahawks team, who has not been that impressive, but they're hanging around, and they're still finding ways to win games. And I think they're only going to get better. I hate the idea of Skylar Thompson against the Seattle defense. Maybe it's a different quarterback for Miami by the time we get here on Sunday, but I don't know, guys. That would be a pretty quick transition. So Seattle, 5-point chalk at home. Let's go right back to Patrick. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, it's another stay away from me here. But I do think McDaniel's crafts a pretty interesting game plan for this, and it just revolves around the run game here. Like, Seattle's run defense hasn't been fantastic this year. I think they're 20th or 21st in the league in yards allowed here. So I don't trust the spread here at 5.5. Interesting number. But, yeah, I'm going to stay away, maybe kind of look for some Miami rushing props. I think that's going to be kind of how I target this game.
Yeah, I tracked it one season, and I must say, I hate a 5. Like a 5 is just a very confusing number for me. Yeah. Oftentimes, when you get a 5 on a team, it results, what I found in one season anyway, it resulted in a lot of upset wins. And this is just a really weird one. It moved down immediately for me, and I completely disagree with it. So a stay away from me as well. Jake Cirkus, Seattle, Miami.
Yeah, I should have gotten involved, sir, earlier. I think the drop-off between, if we want to quantify it, I think the drop-off between Tua and Skylar is about 4 to 4.5 points. So just doing quick math, look ahead was Dolphins -2.5. Maybe that would have dropped a point after their horrible performance on Thursday. Well, you know, if Tua hadn't gotten hurt. So we're looking at about Dolphins minus 1.5. Now doing the quicker math, it's 0.51. Makes it about Seattle plus Seattle minus 2.5, minus 3 on the other end. So I think there's still value here after the big drop off. Just doing the math. Say what you want about Skylar Thompson. They are not going to get a quarterback. He has been in the system for multiple years now. He has been the backup. He played in a playoff game when Tua couldn't make it. So this is their guy. This is who they're going with. They're not going to get Trey Lance. They're not going to sign Tannehill off the street. They're not going to bring back Tom Brady. Some of the Dolphins. Oh, it's been so entertaining. Like I hope Tua's all right. I hope he gets better. But the Dolphins fans saying that they're going to get Tom Brady or they want Trey Lance or God forbid Bryce Young to save them. It's going to be okay. Everything will be okay. I think the value is on Miami here. I won't play at 5. It's a dead zone there. If it gets up to 6, I could be convinced. I really want to take Seattle and Survivor, but that scares me a little bit.
Yeah. Do you want to add something, Patrick?
No, just nothing better than after the Bills beat the Dolphins last week and you're just scrolling through Dolphins Twitter. Love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Just love a good hate scroll for an hour. Makes my night.
And I really love what Mike McDaniel said too afterwards. Like it's not his job. It's nobody's job to tell Tua what to do with his career. You know, like again, the head trauma is very concerning, but the kid has dedicated his whole life to this game. You know, let him make that decision. Looks like he wants to keep playing football. Hey, Tua, put on one of those big ass helmets and just like really, really watch your head and make some safer plays. How about that? How about we don't dive head first into 2 or 3 defenders for the rest of your career? But I, you know, I hope to see Tua back, and I just hope he doesn't get hit like that again. I'll put it that way. All right, let's move on to the Detroit Lions and the Arizona Cardinals. Now, you talk about some perception here, right? We talked at length about the Detroit Lions and that being a very misleading score and a misleading result against the Bucs. Now they travel down to Arizona to face an Arizona team who for 2 weeks has looked pretty damn good. They gave Buffalo their all. They were up way ahead of Buffalo, and they absolutely smacked the Rams last week. That game was over after the first quarter. But, you know, Detroit still getting 3 points. They're getting 2.5 at some books, but that's mega juiced. Personally, I'd rather take the 3 with the Lions in this situation because, you know, you're not going to eat as much juice. And this feels like a Dan Campbell, let's fucking go. Let's put it all together and let's correct everything we did last week. Arizona kind of feisty, though. And it was good to see Marvin Harrison actually show out because I don't know what happened in that first week. Let's go right back to Patrick, Lions and Cardinals. Lions getting three points on the road.
Yeah, I like the Lions in this game too. I think it's a great spot for them to kind of correct the wrong that happened last week, whether it be the kind of the own coaching or just their overall offensive scheme that happened. Amon-Ra's injury is going to be interesting to see how that affects the offense this week. Arizona Cardinals defense has been kind of better than expected, I'd say by all means, yeah. But I do like Detroit in this situation here. I think this is overreaction. Well, I said I think the Cardinals are going to be scrappy this year. I think this is just the perfect spot for the Lions in this situation. So I like Detroit minus 3.
Jake Circus, I saw your head shaking a little bit over there. You like the Cardinals in this spot, catching 3 at home?
No, I don't. If it gets 2.5, that's a best bet. It's a juice 2.5 at DK. And like everything that I've, you know, done with my handicap in the last 4 or 5 years, I would normally take Arizona in this spot. But I think this is a huge mismatch up front. I don't believe in Arizona's front 7. I don't believe in their defense as a whole. Detroit's going to be mean and angry. And I don't normally use emotion in my handicapping. But like with a team coached by Dan Campbell, you kind of have to bring emotion into it because that's like their MO. This is a best bet at 2.5. It's hasn't quite gotten where I wanted to yet. I would like at least a semi-unjuiced 2.5. But this is a trench mismatch. I think we get a better game from Jared Goff. Again, I had some Jared Goff MVP futures because like all of his road games this year are played in a dome. This is one of them. So this is not road, chilly, cold Jared Goff where we can fade the hell out of him and get rich. This is a fine road spot for Jared Goff. Please, please, please get this under another half point, and it'll be a best bet for me at 2.5.
Okay, love it. Yeah, and Jared Goff, you know, that's a case where you could see week 8, week 10, everyone's talking about Jared Goff as possibly an MVP candidate again, right? It's just 2 weeks. Some uncharacteristic throws, but again, I just think in Detroit, the Lions were like expecting to win and they moved the ball up and down the field. But then I don't know what was going on in the red zone and some other mistakes they made. So they're not going to have that thought this week, right? I think we're going to see the best version of the Detroit Lions at Arizona. Okay, San Francisco 49ers going to L.A. The 49ers are, I believe, up to, I thought I saw an 8 at one point, 7.5 in most books. San Francisco expected to wallop the Rams, and the Rams are certainly limping into this one. You know, offensive line troubles right now. Cooper Kupp is also injured. You know, Puka Nacua and Kupp out at this point. And I mean, San Francisco just lost, right? Like they just lost at Minnesota again for two seasons in a row. So even though they're on the road, Shanahan kind of owns McVay. Odds makers are all over this one, not giving us a lot of value opportunity here in this game. I want to take the Rams, guys, just because they're back at home, and that was a really pitiful showing in week two. But it's really hard from a football perspective with everything that's going on there. Jake Cirkus, Rams 49ers.
Yeah, normally they'd be at home here, but not when the Niners come to town, because this is the Rams' ninth road game of the year. It's the yearly, the Niners come in here and just take over the city. You know, I've been to one of these games, and it is all red. It's red. It's pretty bad. 7.5. Yes, I think there's value on the Rams because like we have some data points when they're missing Debo Samuel, and I don't think the offenses look like themselves through 2 weeks without McCaffrey. Now you take out Debo, there's certainly some cause for concern. The offensive line's not like elite. Trent's still there. But matchup base, it's just tough because like how are the Rams gonna if you can't score against Arizona, and there was no fluky stuff there, they just got beat. It's super gross. Like normally I would just take the Rams here, but Kupp and Nacua, like I could argue like the market didn't adjust to that enough, and this line should be 8.5, 9. It was headed there until Debo got ruled out, and then there was some buyback on the other side, got it back down to 7.5. I think the number's right. I don't think there's any value on playing the dirty dog here.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it might make a pretty good teaser leg, to be honest with you, right? We saw what San Francisco did week one against the Jets, and when they need to button up, they can, and they've been very comfortable in this matchup before, going to be even more comfortable against the Rams and the way they look now. And another fantasy mention, which I'm not a fantasy guy at all, but I can't help it. If there's a Brandon Ayuk game coming, I think this might be it. I mean, if you Google his name, it's coming up. Like, should the 49ers use him more? Well, they're going to have to use him more probably in this spot against the Rams. Patrick, over to you, San Francisco and LA.
Could even be a Kittle spot too. Greg, Jordan Kittle. As dominant the first 2 weeks here. Yeah, I mean, the Rams losing Kupp and Puka certainly hurts them. They're 31st in the league right now in rushing yards, and they go up against the San Fran defense, who's 12th in the league in allowing rushing yards. So that's going to be tough. The passing the ball, what, they're fifth right now? But again, they lose two of their major weapons. So it's going to be a tough situation here. I don't even think we need to tease this game. I like the 7 for the 49ers here. I think it's perfectly priced here, and I like San Fran -7 in this matchup.
All right, going with the chalk in that one. Cannot blame you on that one, Patrick. Let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens visiting Dallas. Now, Mike McCarthy is pretty good in these spots. 8-2 against the spread the last two seasons after a loss. I believe he was 5-0 last year after a loss, something like that. 8-2 the last two seasons. I added it up, but one of those seasons he was undefeated. I'm pretty sure it was last year. And here comes Baltimore, which, you know, they had that game won. It was 23-13 with 10 minutes left. You know, just run the ball with Derrick Henry, just milk some more clock. So it just is looking kind of clumsy over there. Lamar Jackson not doing enough in the final moments either, which, you know, you got to talk about that, right? Because we've seen that enough from Lamar Jackson in the playoffs and in those clutch spots, just is not getting it done enough for the Ravens. And now they're 0-2. And the last time they went 0-3 or 0-2 was in 2015. So we're just not used to that from John Harbaugh's Ravens. This is a team every single year that's in the top 10, top 5 contention and conversations. And now they're going to Dallas, boys, which, you know, I got some friends. I'm in the local area of Baltimore who are actually going to that game. I am concerned for my friends that the Dallas Cowboys will actually come away with this one, because I do not like that defensive line, that front 7 of the Cowboys. against the Ravens offensive line and the way it's looked. I don't like Micah Parsons and his matchup. I think he's going to be able to do whatever he wants, especially after Dallas got embarrassed. Probably won't have a play on this game. It's a dangerous game to play anything, in my opinion, but you know, you want to play on the 0-2 Ravens in a really desperate spot with a great coach, but man, they don't look great right now. Patrick, back to you. Ravens and Cowboys. You got anything on this one?
Yeah, I think you mentioned the X factor right there, right? The Ravens O-line has looked horrendous here. We saw what the Raiders defensive line was able to do against them last week with Max Crosby. And you can obviously argue that the Cowboys have a better defensive line, right? At plus one, I kind of like the Cowboys this week here. But my favorite play in this game is going to be the under. I think Lamar is going to run for his life pretty much this entire game, it seems like, here. And Dallas, while Dallas's offense has looked somewhat comparable, obviously in week one, they looked great. Week two, not so much. But I think the total's too high in this game here at 49. So I like the under 49 in this matchup.
Yeah, one of the higher totals of the week at 49 or 49. There's some 49 and a halfs out there that you should still be able to get to. So, you know, that's over some key numbers, 46, 47, 48, as far as totals go. So not a bad look there. Patrick, Jake Circus, Ravens and Cowboys at AT&T.
Yeah, Lamar's done really well with the pressure when he's been pressured. They haven't been pressured at a super crazy high mark. They did a great job against the Chiefs front seven in week one, who haven't really been any good. Obviously a lot worse with, you know, Max Crosby in your face all game on Sunday. But I think the Ravens offensive line has been about who I expect them to be preseason. I mean, I mentioned on Laying the Points that they were going to regress a little bit. You know, they lost a couple thousand snaps of multiple players. So, but like, this would be the spot to just take the Ravens here. I don't know if I'm going to get there. Matchup based, it's about even. I mean, I'm a big Dak guy, but I think this number is probably right. I don't trust either coach, so that's probably why I won't end up playing anything here. Is Harbaugh a good coach, Chris? Can we say that? He's blown more leads than I can count. I mean, 9 double-digit fourth-quarter leads as a head coach, 5 in the last 5 years with Lamar. What's going on there, man? Why can't they just run the ball to win these games? And like, it seems like their offense just disappears when they have a lead in the fourth quarter. Like, they can't run the ball anymore. They throw a lot of incompletions. So maybe Dallas takes advantage of them in a, you know, just a desperation spot for Baltimore. I don't know. I lean Baltimore. I don't know if I'll get there.
Yeah, I think John is a lot like Jim in the way that he knows how to build a culture. He knows how to hire. But sometimes on the field in the game, there are some, you know, really gross fails and flaws that end up happening. I mean, we've seen that many times from the Baltimore Ravens. So just another like executive coach, you know, like Nick Sirianni, who all you got to do is make some better executive decisions in these games, and they might end up differently, bro. But
They've taken play calling away from Nick Sirianni. They've taken personnel away from Nick Sirianni. The only thing he had left was the clock management and you know, the game management. They might take that away from him too.
Yeah, it wasn't bad last night up until the end, but yeah, it was pretty bad overall. I'm glad that, you know, I feel like I've been talking about Nick Sirianni for 5 years, so I'm glad that the rest of society has now caught up to me. Thank you. The guy sucks. All right, let's move forward here. Kansas City Chiefs visiting the Atlanta Falcons, and I'll just start off by saying this, boys. Yeah, again, loved wholesome Kirk Cousins winning that game last night. It was great to see. You know, just especially because Kirk after the game is like, I need to get better. Like, hey, Caleb Williams, like, take notes. You know, Kirk just went right down the field in the Eagles defense at Philly, and he's saying, I have to get better. Like, that's what a pro does, right? But I haven't done enough preparation for this game just yet. I'm not there yet. This is just one of those games, and maybe it's because I lost that Survivor entry on Kansas City a few years ago, where I just think it's a little sneaky for KC, right? It's a interconference game. Like, they never see the Falcons. Falcons now feeling a little bit better. They're back at home. And I don't know, guys. I think the KC has a pretty good look ahead game after this too. I will look into that in a second, but this is down to 3.5 now. It was 4.5. Kansas City is obviously the favorite on the road. Go right back to Jake Circus. What do you got on Chiefs Falcons?
Yeah. If Atlanta comes out like a team that belongs to, that they deserve to be there, like, they could win this game outright and they'll cover. If they get behind early, KC is just so good at putting teams away. Like, we know what we're going to get from KC. I think they're a little down this year. Say which, like, I don't think they have a lot of playmakers on offense. We saw that on Sunday against a team that always has their number from defense against offense perspective, and Lou Anarumo. Mahomes had probably the worst game of his career. So if Atlanta comes out as a team that knows that they deserve to be there at home in a primetime game, they'll cover this number. I completely agree with the sharp movement here. But if they come out flat after an emotional win, this could get away from them. They could lose seven by, you know, anywhere from 7 to 10, because we know how good KC is, especially at covering these shorter numbers when we get kind of closer to 3 and 2. So we'll see what the line does. No play for me here. I would have played Atlanta at 4.5, but I'm more so glad that I got that information. Now it's down to 3.5. If it gets bought back up, I could get involved, but 3.5, I think is 3 or 4 is the right number here. So no play for me here, but I think Atlanta is for sure life here. This is a spot where KC, after two wins that you probably shouldn't have gotten, they shouldn't have gotten both of them, could see them slip up here.
Yeah, another penalty at the end of that game aiding the Chiefs. I hate the inconsistency on that call, by the way. I mean, you know, and half the games that's not called, half the games it is called. The player is going for the ball. I mean, they are going for the ball. They just bump into the guy, right? So and he's not catching that ball anyway, guy. Like, he's not going up 10 feet in the air to get that ball. So, I hated the way that game ended, especially supporting the Bengals on my side. And no Isaiah Pacheco, right, for the Chiefs now, which against the Falcons defense that can't tackle very well, that would have been a major advantage. Maybe Xavier Worthy goes for 250 yards in this one, though, if they give him a lot of screen passes. Over to you, Patrick. We've said a lot already. Chiefs, Falcons.
Yeah, does this not feel like the biggest, like, Sharps first public game of the week, by all means? I mean, the public's going to see 3.5 and be like, of course, it's the Chiefs, right? Like, Atlanta just came off kind of a gutsy win, if that, you could say, last week against Philly. But the one interesting stat, too, so in Mahomes, in his 10 career starts, he's 10-0 with 23 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So I'm not a huge, like, trends and stats guy, like historical stuff. That's not my usually MO when I factored into my betting process. But I did think that was kind of a interesting stat to mention in this game. This is a no play for me here, right? Because the public brain in your head says, oh, wow, Chiefs -3.5. Like, Atlanta coming off a good win, like, letdown spot here. You want to take the Chiefs, but I'm not going to get suckered into this one. I'm staying away from this game by all means.
Yeah, probably a very good game to stay away from, especially as we see it fluctuate between the 4 and the 3. All right, let's go Jaguars and Bills. I guess that last game was the Sunday night game, Kansas City, Atlanta. So these are the two Monday night games, which I don't know why the NFL is doing this to us. I mean, we got to manage two Monday night games at the same time, whatever. And both are a little crappy. I mean, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are just not looking very good right now, boys. I think that's a coaching thing. I don't know what's going on with Trevor Lawrence's confidence, but it has to be waning at least a little bit at this point. Just a lot of mistakes in that game last week. They are 5.5-point underdogs at Orchard Park. And last year, I thought, was the year for Josh Allen and the Bills to, you know, take it all the way if they wanted to. I was expecting a regression year. Of course, they had some advantageous things happen. No one wants to see Tua get hurt, but he gets hurt in that game. The scoring just stops last Thursday night, but now they got 10 days of rest and they're back home. I lean Buffalo, but probably no play for me on this one. Patrick, what do you got here?
As a Bills fan, I've seen this game a mile away. This is a prime letdown spot for the Bills here. I've seen it happen year in and year out. Obviously, over kind of performed expectations the first two weeks from everyone, kind of what they thought they would be here. 5.5 here. We mentioned that's a weird number, but I think Jacksonville covers the spread in this game. Maybe Buffalo sneaks out a field goal win, but I've seen this game happen too many times with this team. So I think the defensive injuries finally catch up to them. I think Jacksonville's able to get pressure on Josh Allen. The O-lines looked okay the first 2 weeks, but I think Jacksonville's defense is kind of better than what we've seen. And yeah, Jacksonville +5.5 here. I've seen this game before. I know how this goes.
Yeah, and even though they let down in week two, you know, they were pretty impressive in week one as far, you know, they went ahead of the Dolphins at first. Their defense looked better, right? Last week was kind of more about the Cleveland defense. So maybe there's something to believe in still about the Jaguars. I mean, I look at Trevor Lawrence every single week and I'm like, That's the kind of pass that only 5 to 10 guys in the world can make. And then he makes another bonehead play, and their offense just looks all over the place. I mean, it's almost every single week you see both sides of the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. Jake Circus, Bills, Jaguars, what do you got?
I agree. I think this is a prime kitchen sink game. Doug Peterson, for the first time in his Jags career, which 2 years ago, if you told me this was going to happen, I would have been like, you are fucking crazy. Doug Peterson's job is in jeopardy if he doesn't get this thing turned around, because what has happened to Trevor Lawrence? He missed two games at the end of the year. He has not won a game since Thanksgiving weekend last season. So, like, what is going on here? They haven't thrown the ball all over the field, down the field. It's just nothing's working. Brian Thomas has been fantastic, but let's get him the ball some more. They got guys there. So this is a kitchen sink game. Buffalo, not looking ahead to next week, but they have prime time again in Baltimore. So I'm not, it's not a sandwich spot, but like that's on deck in the back of their minds. But this is a bet from Jacksonville's perspective where they are completely desperate, maybe can't win the game outright. I might play some Jags and some round robin money line parlays, but maybe we can get back to six. I'll still probably play them at 5.5. I think this is a great spot for Jacksonville to get to bounce back here, and all the cliches that we're going to say, but this is a spot where they will throw the book at Buffalo.
Yeah, and I must say, Jacksonville, one thing that really stands out, 3.8 yards per rush allowed through 2 weeks. It's only two weeks, but we know the Bills want to run the ball, right? So if they can slow down the Bills offense and Josh Allen on the ground, they might have a shot here, cause a turnover or two. Lord knows Josh Allen likes to give those away. So there's a route, right, for the Jaguars to stay in this game. Okay, final game of the week. You talk about a spot where you want to support an 0-2 team. Heading into the season, we know how bad the Bengals start seasons, but I wasn't seeing this as two 0-2 teams. But here are the Bengals, right? And they're 0-2 again. And they're hosting the Washington Commanders. I'll just put it this way, guys. As this line has crept up, well, actually, it opened around it opened at 7, and it's at 7.5, 8 at some books. So it is creeping up almost across the board here. Is there anyone that can support the Commanders? Let me just ask that. I'll start with you, Jake. Washington, see any reason to support them here?
Someone is. This line's creeping down. So we'll see. It's mostly 7.5s out there. It opened 8. So we'll see. I think that once now that it's 7.5, you can get to a teaser range for Cincinnati and feel pretty good about it. This is a game they don't lose. They're 0-2, but they get Washington this week. They go to Carolina the next week before hosting Baltimore. And what now seems like a huge game because both teams are starting the season 0-2. I think Cincinnati, I'm on a few Bengals shows each week, and I said going into the KC game where, we're not looking to win. Obviously, win would be great, but they have to improve. You got to see improvement from them, and they did. They looked like a much improved team. They looked like the Bengals team that, we've seen the last couple of years with Joe Burrow at the helm. A couple of mistakes that they can get cleaned up. Not going to lay 7.5 with them. Not going to bet on the Commanders either. So I think this teaser spot for the Bengals pretty easily here. So maybe we'll see some buyback with the Commanders still in a primetime spot, rookie quarterback. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not interested in playing anything here.
Yeah, you heard it from Kiev. His teaser of the week is teasing up the Chargers, teasing down the Bengals. And now you could definitely get a better number on that. Let's finish with you, Patrick, Bengals and Commanders.
Yeah, this is a game I don't think Cincinnati can afford to lose. Right? They're already 0-2. This is a game they can't lose. They showed improvement last week against Kansas City, a team that they've kind of historically given issues to. I don't mind. As odd as it is, I don't mind the 7.5 here. I think Cincy wins by 10 to 14 here in this game. They come out and they just roll Washington. So I'll lay the 7.5 here. Obviously would love to get it at 7 here, but I saw it open at 7, jumped to 7.5, and now 8 even. So I don't know if it'll come back to that number, but if it closes at 7.5 come kickoff, I don't mind laying the number. I think
I think it opened 9. I don't know if
it opened 7, but this site I'm on is kind of iffy sometimes. So
yeah, same with this.
It's close. I don't think it's going below 7. Let's put it that way, boys.
No.
There's not going to be sharps coming in on Washington that strongly, right? So If you like the teaser leg on Cincinnati right now, I would take it. I don't see any downward movement on that one. But I will say this, just to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. Jaden Daniels, fellow LSU quarterback. We've seen some good things for him the first 2 weeks as far as just playmaking ability goes. Two LSU boys facing off. I could just see the Bengals up by 13, 14, 17 at the end, something like that. And Jaden Daniels, just this garbage time comeback effort, and maybe they get close to covering this one. The Commanders are 0-2 too, right? And they're not as desperate. They know they're not going to the Super Bowl. But I could see them just showing out here. There's like a weird, again, it's one of those things, guys, where you do this long enough, you just have a weird feeling about games. I kind of feel like Washington, as bad as their defense is, they match up a little better than most teams against the Bengals. I would lean Bengals strongly here, but Commanders are 0-2 as well. So just throwing that out there. All right. We have been through all 16 games. We cannot not go 90 minutes on this show because there's too much to talk about. But we do have one more thing to talk about. I want to thank everybody for listening in and for watching us today on Twitter. Again, it'll be available via podcast and on YouTube as well. Please follow Patrick at Gator Betting, and please follow Jake Circus at Jake Circus. You can get more of Patrick's work over there at the Odds Breakers and his hockey podcast. What is that called again, Patrick?
Expected Bets for.
Yep, Expected Bets. And the Jake Circus podcast as well. These guys do a lot of great work in the world of betting. Okay, best bets is what time it is. Let me bring up the little video here. And I'm going to go to you first, Patrick. Best bet of the week. What do you got?
Cincy, -7.5. I know you talked about Washington might be a scrappy kind of underdog here in the situation, but their defense is not good by any means here. Everything points towards a Cincinnati get right game, and I think this is exactly what that is. So give me Cincy -7.5.
Yeah, when I express any kind of support for Washington, it ain't based on their defense.
No.
Yeah, it's based on Jaden Daniels making something happen. All right, I'm going to do it again. I love this video. Jake Circus, what is your best bet of the week?
Denver +7, but I'm changing that if Detroit gets to 2.5 consensus. An unjuiced Detroit 2.5 is my best bet of the week. But since we do this on Tuesday morning and that's not how it is, I will say Denver +7 because that's what we have right now.
Jake, I'm right there with you. Numbers, not teams. And this one qualifies as just the most misleading spread of the week. If you went back to the beginning of the season, there's no way Tampa Bay is favored by 7. I love Sean Payton to get up for this game against the former NFC South divisional opponent. And I just don't think Tampa Bay is quite that good. So I'm going to go Broncos +7 as well. Guys, great show as always. I want to thank Kiev again for joining us on the NFL Roundtable. We go 90 minutes every week. Once these teams start taking buys, maybe we can do a little bit less, but I don't care because I love talking ball with you guys. Until next week, everybody, the NFL Roundtable, let's win some damn money. We're out of here.